Welcome to Off Leash and Unfiltered. Trigger warning, I'm Katie Pepe, delivering the truth in dog training. Hey everybody, this is your host, Katie Pepe. Before we jump in, I just wanted to take a quick second and remind you to hit the subscribe button because that helps us so much. We appreciate every subscribe and follow, and we have so much valuable information we want to share with you, so we don't want you to miss an episode. Without further ado, let's jump in. Hey everyone, thanks for joining me today. Missed an episode. Apologize for that. As some of you may know, I kind of live life going 100 miles an hour all the time, just on this racetrack. And sometimes when you're doing that, you blow out a tire or four. and so you need to just like, you need more than a pit stop, right? You need like a whole bunch of repairs. I went away for a couple days. It was really nice. We had a good time. Actually did have a dog with us, training dog. Esme was with us, but she was very easy and did a great job. And I did get a little bit of time to work with her on some things while we were away. So it was good. And, you know, when you have kids and they're always sick, it's like you have that to contend with. So my daughter's got the flu now. And so I kind of feel like a sitting duck. I'm just waiting to get sick. And I actually just got better from being sick. So that is life right now. But other than that, things are great. Happy to be back in the office and going to get some podcast episodes out. So today, I want to talk about our favorite question that we get as dog trainers. Can you sense the sarcasm? If you can't, you don't know me very well. So our favorite question, which, you know, sometimes I get this question in the phone consultation, but more often than not, it's when people are here and they've sat down for their first private lesson or for their go-home lesson if their dog did a board and train. And we're talking about the e-collar and the prong collar, like all the equipment and the habits that you should get into with all of that equipment to be the most successful. And the first question everybody says is, when can we take the e-collar off? Or is there a time when we can eventually just take the e-collar off? So let's dive into that, because I think that is on everybody's mind when they're e-collar training or they're considering e-collar training. And the truth is, there's no black and white answer to that, but I mean, generally speaking, if you want the short answer, no, leave your e-collar on, okay? So, it's complicated, right? As everything is. Here's the thing. It's like, does my dog... not my pug, my actual dog. Does he need to wear his e-collar, at least when I'm around? No. Will he listen? Yeah. But most people aren't dog trainers, and most people aren't going to follow our instructions to a T. And sometimes, depending on how challenging the dog is, there's more of a skill set needed, and not everyone's going to be able to do it. So my advice is, like, just leave your fucking e-collar on. Like, what is the rush to get it off, right? The problem, the goal is to get rid of the problems. So if your e-collar does that, just leave it on, guys. What the fuck is the difference? Are you in a rush to take off your dog's flat collar? Oh, no, you got to have... why? What's the difference? They both serve a purpose. If they're serving a purpose, leave them on. And I'm not mad. I'm just saying it's worth thinking about. Like, why are we so obsessed with getting the tools off her dog? It's like, when can I pound a nail in without a hammer? Well, fucking anytime I want to, but it's going to be hard. Why do I want to make life harder? Putting an e-collar on your dog, guys, is not hard. You turn it on, you put it on, and that's it for the day, right? Maybe rotate it so they don't get any sores or anything from it just sitting there. But that's it. It's not hard. So if it makes your life that much better, if it makes your dog that much safer, just leave it on. But that being said, let's dig into what needs to be true for you to move away from your e-collar. And sort of what that looks like. Like, what are the things we do? Like, why is that true? Like, why? Let's get into what needs to be true to move away from your e-collar and why those things are the way they are, so that you have an understanding of it. Because I truly believe when people understand why, like they understand the inner workings of why things are happening, they're so much more on board with it. So I want to dig into that. Okay, so here's what needs to be true in order for you to move away from your e-collar. And I want to just stress that there's a couple of different things here with the language, right? So when I say move away from your e-collar, that could mean just not using it so much, right? Or it could mean taking it off. So let's just start with the first one, which is using it less, right? So in order to start moving away from your e-collar, you need to use it skillfully, right? So if you're inconsistent, if your levels are not appropriate, you're probably not going to be moving away from your e-collar anytime soon, right? So the more skilled you are with using it, the less you will need to use it, right? The more you use it now and the more meaningful it is to your dog, the more they understand it, the more impactful it is, the less you're going to need it in the future. Common sense, right? So, but if you go home with your dog after a lesson or a board and train, or even if you taught them yourself, whatever the case may be, assuming your dog knows all the material, right? They've been trained. If you go home and you are not very consistent, right? So sometimes there's consequences and accountability. Sometimes there isn't. Sometimes I tell you what to do and I'll tell you 2, 3, 4 times before there's any accountability. Sometimes you get away with jumping on people and I either don't correct you because I'm lazy and the remote's not around, or I correct you, but I correct you at like a level 5, right? Which is meaningless. And he's going to do it again tomorrow. If you do those things, then you never move away from your e-collar, guys, because there's no path there for that to happen, right? So the path that needs to be there for you to move away from using that e-collar all the time is that your dog has experienced consistent and meaningful communication from you, especially accountability for not doing things that they do know how to do and are well rehearsed at, and very uncomfortable consequences for doing things that they are never supposed to do. And if they see that there is no consistent pattern to that, that the accountability comes sometimes or occasionally, or it's so inconsequential that it just doesn't even register to them as a correction for things that you're trying to correct, then the behaviors don't change. There's no reason for them to change. So you keep relying on your e-collar to get the behaviors you want when it's the most important and you're feeling motivated to actually do the work, right? So there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I just show this to him and he knows. It's like, okay, you created that. That's not the training. That's not what we teach you. Our dogs here do not do that. That doesn't happen here. My own dogs don't do that. Yes, they know what the remote does, but they also know that it has no bearing on anything. Whether they can see it or not see it, makes no difference because they know, and they don't know through magic, guys. They know because it's what I have done. I've taught them, whether they see this remote or not, the outcome will always be the same. Now, when I say always, no, I'm not perfect. It's probably not 100%, but it's pretty damn close. And I don't take it easy on them. If it's something that I know they truly know in a circumstance where they should be good at it, an environment where they should be good at it, well rehearsed, I don't take it easy on them. There's a real consequence if you aren't doing the thing you're supposed to be doing, which means they are way less likely to pull that bullshit again this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, right? So that's how you move away from needing your e-collar all the time. And you can't skip the training. And I know I always say that, but I think it's important to always have that, that side note attached here. If your dog doesn't know what to do because you're a crappy trainer, or you just haven't put the time in, then you can't hold your dog accountable for that. That's not going to work. Okay. But assuming that they do, real consequences is what stops the pushing of boundaries and the breaking of rules, guys. If we just threatened people with jail, but they never actually went, or they only went 1 in 5 times, what do you think would happen if they knew? It's like, well, I can kill this son of a bitch, and there's a 1 in 5 chance I'm going to go to prison for it. Okay, well, a lot of people would find that worth it. Worth the risk. Your dog's no different, right? And that's an extreme example, right? Shoplifting might be more comparable to a lot of the just pesky behaviors your dog has, right? But some of them are very aggressive, and that's a suitable comparison. And it's no different. It truly is the same. So what has to be true is your dog has to believe that there is real accountability every single time they screw up. Real accountability that actually matters. And it's every time. Not sometimes, not once in a while, not half the time. It's every time. If your dog believes that, right? Can't just be when the remote's hanging around your neck, guys. Every time, right? If my remote's on the other side of the house, my dog knows I'm just going to say no. I'm going to mark his behavior with a no. I'm going to march my ass across the house. I'm going to go get it. I'm going to provide very meaningful accountability. They know that. It has to be every time. If your dog believes that, guess what happens? They just listen. Your dog will be the best version of themselves. They will just listen. And they won't do those things that they know you don't like it when they do. They won't jump on the couch anymore if they're not supposed to. They won't jump on guests anymore if they're not supposed to. They won't bark out the window. They won't counter surf. They won't do those things because they know it will suck if they do. But you're the only one that can teach them that. We can't do that for you. The e-collar won't do that for you. The tools, guys, do not fix your problems. It's the training. You have to convince your dog that those things are true. And only you can do that. If you don't, then it will never be the case that your dog just listens to you. Because there's no path there for that to happen. Now, when I say every time there has to be accountability, that might sound like a real drag and like you're just going to be pushing buttons forever. But again, if you're doing it correctly and meaningfully, it gets less and less and it goes away. Not entirely. Your dog will never be a robot. And here's the funny thing is everybody says to me, right? I get this concern all the time. I don't want my dog to be a robot. I don't want to strip him of his personality. And then the very next question out of their mouth is, when can we take this e-collar off? It's like, well, since your dog will never be a robot, never. Right? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't say, I want my dog to be himself and have all of his personality and have a good time and, you know, have some autonomy and be able to make decisions on his own and do stuff. And it's like, okay. But then occasionally you have to accept the fact that your dog is going to make the wrong choices. Your dog is going to push boundaries. Your dog is going to try to get a rise at you. Whatever the thing is that your dog does, they're going to do that sometimes. And if you take your tools off so you can't deal with that, then you just suffer the consequences, which, by the way, is also fine, right? But we all have to make our own bed and lay in it. So whatever that looks like for you, is fine. And I'll tell you right now, if you're taking your e-collar off during the course of a regular day, and your dog isn't wearing the collar all the time, right? So we talked about the remote, but if your dog's not wearing the collar all the time, it will not take long for them to figure out that the accountability is not there when the collar is not on. They'll know that. And so it doesn't take a genius to figure out how long you're going to be relying on the e-collar, right? The answer is, well, forever, okay? Because you taught your dog no collar, no accountability. So now, if you don't put it on, you're SOL. And that is not anybody's fault but your own. And also, not the end of the world, right? We have a lot of people that have made that mistake, and we tell them all not to do that. But inevitably, a lot of people go home and they still do that, right? We can't control people, guys. They go home, they do whatever they're going to do. So, if you're in that boat, you're a normal human. A lot of people have done that. A lot of people have made that mistake. And I just want to say, even though we tell you not to do that, and that is a mistake, in my opinion, it's not the end of the world. Love the show? Well, I have great news. We are offering an inexpensive subscription to our new premium content. This is content that isn't available to the general public. We make it just for our subscribers. We're going to cover a variety of new topics in these episodes, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun. So you can jump right down into the show notes to get that website address, and then skip over there and sign up for this premium content. Just wanted to take a second to let you guys know about that. Thank you so much for your support. And now, on with the show. Why? Because you can just put your e-collar on and you'll be fine. And you can start putting it on every day. And having it on like you're supposed to tomorrow, tonight. And your problem is solved, right? It won't be a problem if you don't give your dog the opportunity to create the problem. But there's no quick fix for that. It's just your dog, at the end of the day, guys, no matter what tool we're talking about, your dog just has to know that there will be accountability in all the various situations and scenarios with all the various behaviors that you want or that you don't want. They have to believe that there's real accountability for all of it. And that really is it, whether it's the e-collar or it's something else. Doesn't matter. Whatever works with your dog, right? And if they know that that's not true, right? If it isn't true, they will know that. They will know, your dog isn't stupid. They are geniuses at figuring out the patterns. And they'll figure you out real fast. I know I've told the story 100 times about my own dog eating the cat food. I very easily taught him not to eat it when I'm home. I very easily taught him not to eat it when I'm not home. But if I'm not home and my mother is there, he runs right over to the cat food, guys. I can leave him home alone for 8 hours outside of his kennel. He's free. He's got free access to the kitchen, the dining room. I usually don't allow him into the living room or upstairs. I could. He'd be fine. But I usually don't. I limit his space. But the cat food's in there. He doesn't touch it. 8 hours. He can be there by himself. He won't touch it. But if my mom shows up, it's the first thing he's going to do. They know. Whatever is true, your dog will know it's true. You can't hide from that. And it's simultaneously like a huge pain in the ass, but also just beautiful because it's just so honest. It's like, I'm just going to tell you exactly how it is, right? This is exactly, right? That's not my dog being an asshole. It kind of is, right? It's just a jerk. Like, it's like, just come on. You know you're not supposed to eat the damn cat food. But the thing is, he's telling me this is the thing I have learned. And he's right. I can't be mad at him for that. He's right. When she's there and I'm not, it's all green lights. There are no consequences. She'll push the button every once in a blue moon. By the time she does, he's committing atrocities. And so he knows. It's like, yeah, I get like 20 free passes. I can act like a clown all day and I get away with it. So he does. And that's not his fault. So that's how it works. So if you want to move away from your e-collar, then the idea is you better be using it now and you better be using it correctly. It better be on all the time. You better be willing to walk across the house and get your remote after you say no. You better be meaningful with it, right? Don't correct your dog at something very low for something they should know very well. Because if you do, you'll have to correct them every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. The more meaningful the consequence, the less your dog is going to test that boundary again. Okay? If your dog jumps on someone and your dog isn't real sensitive, okay, and you correct them at a 15, they might get down, but they're going to do it again the next time someone walks through the door. Right? And that same dog, let's say you correct them at a 25 or even a 30, they're going to get down. They might temper themselves a little bit the next time someone walks through the door, right? They might hesitate before they jump, or they might even not jump, but then maybe the next time someone comes through the door, they will, right? Or maybe they'll half-heartedly jump, and then the behavior just builds back up. It's like, because you're taking it too easy on your dog. If the idea is to put the behavior to bed, then put it to bed. What level? I don't know. A very meaningful one. So unless your dog is incredibly sensitive, I wouldn't worry about the level at all. It needs to be higher. And it's not me telling you that. It's your dog telling you that, right? Because they keep doing it. Because it's worth it. I use the metaphor of a vending machine all the time, right? If a vending machine steals a dollar, you might give it another try. If you've lost $50 in there, probably not. So you have to start using your brain to think about what's going to convince my dog not to break this rule anymore. What's going to convince my dog that when he breaks this rule, it's that uncomfortable every time, even if he doesn't see the remote? Or if you want to take your e-collar off, even if he doesn't have an e-collar on, what are you going to do? And there are ways with most dogs. Could use a bonker, right? So you could just use a different tool. And what's most effective just really depends on the dog. But the most practical way is your e-collar. So do yourself a favor and leave it on. Now, my dog, like I said, will listen great without his e-collar on. But you guys, he probably wore that e-collar every single minute of every single day, unless it was charging, for like a year and a half. We were very consistent. Most people aren't going to do that. And if I had my remote in another room and he broke place, I'd say no. I'd get up. I'd go get it. I'd crank it. I would punish that behavior. I'd help him get back on if I had to help him get back on, which I usually didn't because he knew it very well. And guess what? I didn't have to do that too many times before he said, whoa, I can't break place. Right? There might have been a few different situations where he was like, well, maybe I can now. Maybe I can because she's going up the stairs. Maybe I can because someone walked through the door. Maybe, right? You go through a few of those things. You work through it and you teach him, no, it's going to look like this every time. And once you've done that, you're usually pretty good. Right? Doesn't mean you'll never have to touch it up and have the conversation again. But that's the other mistake people make. They think, oh, I've had these conversations with my dog. He's doing amazing. He's not breaking the rules. I'm taking the e-collar off. It's like, okay. But again, your dog's not a robot. So in 3 months from now, 6 months from now, your dog screws up. Your dog gets confident. Tests a boundary. There's no consequence. Maybe you put him back. Okay, that's not a consequence, guys. Well, now what happens? Well, that is the beginning of the behavior now regenerating. Right? Because he did it, there was no consequence. And once your dog does something, it's going to happen again. That's normal behavior. The more it happens, the more it happens. So once it happens once, they're probably going to try it again. So now the behavior starts to regenerate, right? And you don't have your e-collar on and there's no consequences and your dog knows it. So even if you have had the conversations with your dog and you have done a good job and you have been consistent and things look really good, guess what? Don't take it off, because there's going to come a day where your dog tests those waters, because he's not a robot, right? And we don't want him to be robots. It's like, okay, he's not a robot. He's going to test the waters, right? You can't just program him to never test the waters again. And it might be a while. It might be months, right? But if and when your dog screws up and there's no consequence, they will know that, right? That will go right into the file and it will contribute to their behavior in the future. Because that's normal, guys. There's nothing wrong with your dog. It's normal. The problem is with you wanting to have a magic easy button, right? Or wanting your dog to act like a robot when you want them to, but not when you don't want them to. But they're just not. They're living autonomous things that make choices. And all you can do is influence those choices. And they're never going to be etched in stone. But you can get them pretty damn close with good training. Right? And just to reiterate, too, when we're building up all these behaviors, guys, tons of reward if your dog is into anything. Tons of food. Affection. Praise. Great. Build up those behaviors. But eventually, you have to expect them, right? There has to be the accountability piece if it's ever going to become reliable. I got a dog in today. It's going to be a wicked fun dog. Well, he came last night. His name's Draco. He's a Dutchie. Love working with these really drivey dogs that like to work. They're fun, right? He knows all of his obedience stuff. He knows it. But why is he here? Because it's not reliable. Because there's no reason to do it when he doesn't feel like doing it. Why? Like, what would be the drive to do it if I don't feel like doing it? And that's true. I say this all the time. For all dogs, not just bad dogs, not stubborn dogs, not dumb dogs, not bad. It's just all dogs. It looks different for each dog, but the fact that there needs to be accountability and that it needs to be all the time if behavior is ever going to become reliable and polished, especially without constantly pushing buttons. It's true for all dogs. All this stuff is true for all dogs. Big, small, nervous, pushy, doesn't matter. All dogs. So each rep that we do looks different from dog to dog. What we're using as a reward is different from dog to dog. What we're using as accountability looks different from dog to dog. But it needs to be there. those things need to be there. And your dog will simply know if it's not. You can't trick your dog. That's the beauty of it. You just can't trick them. They know. They know you better than you know yourself. People think they're providing accountability sometimes, but they're not. Their dog knows when they won't. And the people don't even know that. They haven't realized what their own patterns are, but the dog knows. The dog knows, oh, when he's sitting in that recliner, never gets up to get the remote and provide the accountability, right? The no becomes meaningless when you're sitting in the recliner and your dog knows it. If that's true, they'll know it. Here's what I want to leave you with. You can't teach your dog things that aren't true. Hey guys, thanks for joining us today. I really hope you enjoyed the show. If there's a specific topic you'd like to hear discussed, you can send that to me directly via email or fan mail. Just jump down into the show notes. That information will be there for you. I really look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for supporting the show, and I look forward to next time.